Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. 7:35 at the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here, weekday morning, 6 till 8. Thank you for being a part of what we do. We are honored to be a part of your life here every weekday morning, 6 till 8, and throughout your day on the Faith Radio Network. And we appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. Find us at myfaithradio.com. That's our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. All right, students are heading back to school. That oftentimes leads to kind of a new kind of chaos, a break in the summer chaos, and that newfound routine school semester chaos in households and among families all across the nation. Joining us to talk about some ways to stay calm and stay the course, our great friend Kendra Smiley, who I understand is not at the side of John Smiley today. We miss him already, but Kendra, we're so glad to have you. How are you this morning?
Well, thank you. And you know what? This is your day, Austin, because John is here.
Hi, Austin.
Hey, how are you? Well, see,
I'm doing great.
I got the word. I got the memo. See this right here in front of me? This little slip of paper here. This said John will not be here today, but apparently that was inaccurate. So good to hear you both.
I think probably because I was very, very quiet and didn't say anything initially, so they just thought I wasn't here.
We apologize for that. The behind-the-scenes staff confused.
No more confused than we are on any given day. That's quite all right. Listen, students are headed back to school, and you have heard it all, the both of you, in your years of parenting and helping other parents and counseling and such. There are ways to stay the course. As a matter of fact, I understand that you're drawing on the wisdom of the fictitious character Mary Poppins just a little bit when it comes to kind of hurting the family and getting them moving in the right direction with the school year. Tell us what's going on.
Well, actually, there was a list of things that some of the five-star nannies thought were important. So, of course, when I think of a nanny, I think of Mary Poppins, my all-time favorite movie.
Yes.
And there were five of those that we thought were pretty good. We really agreed with them and kind of added our own twist.
Okay, well, let's hear the twist. Where do we start?
Well, the first thing that was recommended, and I quote, was keep calm even when you have every reason not to. And I think that is a very good one. You know, too often moms and dads are delivering consequences because of how they feel rather than based on the behavior of their child. There were times in parenting, I know my phrase that when I used to think I'm kind of losing control here, I would look at the child, that was when he was still shorter than me, and I would say, wait a minute, you are the child, I am the parent.
Mm-hmm.
You are the child. And who was I trying to convince? Both of us. I needed to stay calm. In essence, I gave myself a timeout.
Right, and I think probably one of the biggest things that moms and dads can do to keep calm to as they go through the parenting day, and that is how they start their day. I think it's so very important, and I know moms and dads are really, really busy out there, but I think one of the biggest things that a parent can do is start their day with like a quiet time, talking to the Lord, and just looking forward through the day, knowing that the Lord is there for help, and a lot of times that help is in them keeping in control and being calm. If we start there, we have a lot better chance of keeping ourselves under control.
Sure, sure. Well stated. John and Kendra Smiley on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Some tips on parenting, even as students are headed back to school, drawn from, I guess, a survey of nannies from across the country. How about this one? Stick to a schedule. Now, I've heard both of you speak about the importance of this previously, but talk to us again. How important is it, regardless of our child's age, to stick to a schedule?
Extremely important. Kids thrive on routine. They want to know what to expect. Now, that doesn't mean they can't roll with the punches, you know, when something comes up, but they want to count on structure, consistency. So what does that mean for moms and dads? Well, as much as you can, predictable meal times, predictable bedtimes, predictable nap times. Those are the sorts of things that keep kids from getting cranky, which nobody likes a cranky kid.
we have a father who has a daughter who is a nanny, and she went into a situation with, I think it was four children, and this family was pretty much out of control. And he told us the one thing that she did to bring that family, those children under control, which helped a great deal, mm-hmm. was she put those kids on a schedule. And he said it was absolutely amazing, that one thing, what a huge change it did with that family. So having your kids on a schedule is very important.
One of the things that our kids used to like was before the day ended, we'd talk about what was going to happen the next day. And they knew, you know, it might not all happen exactly that way. It wasn't like tying your hands, Mom, but it was kind of giving them an idea of something to look forward to. Again, the idea of a schedule.
Yeah, sure. John and Kendra Smiley, talk to us about teenagers and how important the schedule is, and the fact that, at least as I say, I'm a lay parent. I'm not the trained professional like you folks are, but it seems to me that if we are intending to raise responsible adults, well, we want to gradually, slowly give our teenage kids more responsibility over their own schedule. But what does that look like from your vantage point?
Well, I think it looks like baby steps, you know, and when they are babies, giving them an idea of what a legitimate schedule looks like, and then giving them more and more responsibility for establishing their own schedules so that they're making good decisions with when do I really need to get up. There was something we also did. I called it counting backwards. And the whole idea of getting places on time is a matter of knowing when you need to leave. I remember the great gratification I felt when our eldest son had been married about, maybe a year, and they had come home for a visit, and I heard him say to his wife, well, we need to be at your folks at 4. Let's count backwards. That's the idea of scheduling again.
Right, and I think as we parent teenagers, there are times that they and things that they do to be on their own schedule, but as a family, we can still have a schedule for things. And then what they're doing basically as teenagers is they're working in both worlds. They're scheduling themselves for a lot of different things, which that's really important that they do that. Mm-hmm. And then they're still part of the family, and the family has things that are scheduled. And so they're working with the family schedule and understanding that, which helps them with their individual schedules.
And will one day make them better employees.
Let's hope so. Yeah, let's hope we're raising up productive young people who will be a part of the labor market eventually. John and Kendra Smiley, I don't want to belabor the point on the schedule here, but it strikes me that, and I hear this frequently, and I've experienced this myself as a parent, our kids get distracted with gadgets and technology and texting and phones and computers and can't get away from the electronic communication, and that really messes up the schedule. Speak to that, if you would, please.
Well, really, the electronic schedule or the electronic implements, electronic gadgets, yeah. can be that's no excuse, because they can be the thing that, what happened to me about, 20 minutes ago, a little buzzer went off on my cell phone that said, Austin will be calling. How did I know that? Because my electronic device told me. So they can, it really doesn't have to be an excuse. You know, what did kids use a generation ago? Well, I got busy watching cartoons. What did they use two generations ago? Well, I was playing outside. It's just an excuse. They really can be a tool to keep kids on schedule.
Right, and I think a lot of times that parents get flustered with all the electronic stuff because the kids seem to know more about the electronic stuff, and so then they, as Kendra said, they use that as an excuse. And I think if parents realize the fact that, no, that's not an excuse, you know, this is what's going to happen, and you decide because of the electronic devices, you're the one. It's kind of like when I was flying airplanes, my instructor, when I first started flying jets,
yes.
he would say, you fly the plane. You don't let the plane fly you. Mm. And that was so very important. And the same thing with electronic devices with your teenage kids. You know, they're the ones in charge of those electronic devices. The electronic devices are not in charge of them. And that's so important for parents to get over with kids.
Very well stated. Real quick, one of your points here is even in the context of delivering a consequence to our kids and disciplinary actions, don't get emotional when your kids act up. Wow, that's a tall order. Tell us about that, if you would.
That's when, you know, that's when you put yourself in a timeout. That's when you count to 10, whatever it might be. And you always remember, you discipline a child because of something inappropriate they have done, whether they've been defiant, they've done something dangerous, they've done something destructive. And probably the most important thing, why do we discipline our children? For the same reason God disciplines us, because we love them. And when we keep that in mind, you know, that's the whole reason, not because we've fallen off the ledge, which occasionally it has been said, you know,
right.
John, I'm teetering on the ledge, talk me in. Yes, no, it, more than that, it's because we love them.
Right, and I think the emotional part, I think it would help moms and dads out there to realize, and I think we do realize when it's happening, when we get very, very emotional in the discipline part of our kids, one of the things that moms and dads, we want to do is totally be in control. We want to be in control of the situation. We don't want to get out of control. And so much of the time, when we let our emotions run away with us, then all of a sudden, we're not in control. And when we're not in control, then some things that aren't good can happen. So emotionalism, yes, are kids going to make us angry? You bet they are. You know, are we going to get frustrated? You bet we're going to get frustrated. But the big thing is that we handle those emotions so we're in control, so that we are, if it's discipline, we are disciplined correctly, and we're not disciplined out of control. And it's very important.
John and Kendra Smiley with us, parenting and family experts that they are. We'll continue with them in just moments. Here on the Faith Radio Network, it's now 7:45, and I'm Austin Hill. Stay with us. Syncopation for your morning. It's now 7:47 on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Our great friends, John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts extraordinaire. All their material published at kendrasmiley.com, but we've got it on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. They are on our guest line together, as they are so frequently here on our program, and we appreciate what they do. I want to ask you both, a little off topic from the content that you have most recently written, but nothing that you're not very, very familiar with, and that is some warning signs that would suggest to parents or anybody else who involves themselves in the lives of kids, warning signs that just suggest, hey, we may have some depression going on. Maybe there's a sense of despair that's setting in. We may have a real serious, not just behavioral, but mental health issue. Can you comment on that, especially in light of what's been in the headlines over the last several days across the world and in our country? Comment on that, if you would.
Absolutely. And it has been very sad and shocking and touched a lot of lives. I think one of the things parents need to be really aware of is any kind of a major change in behavior of their child. If you have had a child who's outgoing and you realize, gee, they don't want to interact with other people, they're sullen, spending a lot of time in their room, those sorts of things, or even a child that's quiet and then seems to be more rambunctious, things that are changes in their behavior, that's a really good thing to watch for. Also, what do you hear coming out of their mouth? Paying attention to their kids. Sometimes we, as moms and dads, get so busy with things that really aren't as important, and we're not paying attention. Maybe there's a child that's trying to communicate, I'm upset about something, I don't understand. I had a parent one time, we had a parent who, we get a lot of emails from folks with questions, and the child was saying, I just don't like who I am. Well, that's time to get some help. Why? What? You know, what's this coming from? And we, as the in-laws of a young woman, are a youngest son's wife, who is a licensed clinical professional counselor, we are all about getting professional help if you even think there might be a problem with your child feeling depressed.
Mm. Right, and I think probably another thing that it obviously is very, very sad, what happened to Robin Williams. And one of the things that I think parents should be aware of out there, and that's how to help their kids recover from failure.
Yes.
I think the depression thing, and I know it's a little bit different than that, but still, you know, seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, if your child fails, and kids are going to fail, that we talk about helicopter parents and not allowing kids to fail. But
right.
The bigger point is that as they will fail, we need to let them fail in certain instances, and then help them see how you recover from failure, that there is, you know, yes, tomorrow, you know, maybe study harder, whatever it is, because we don't want our kids over something that's not big to go into depression because they can't see how to recover. And obviously, from our standpoint, Jesus, the Bible, the hope that we have in Christ is so huge in that area, and parents modeling that and teaching kids that. And I heard, excuse me, a psychiatrist this morning on the TV was talking about that, and not being able to see the next day or the next week, yes, it's going to get better. And parents, again, it's something that parents teach kids. Mm-hmm. How do you recover from failure? When something bad happens, how do we respond to that? And it's so important that parents take the time to show kids how to do it and to teach kids how to do it.
I have a friend who has dealt with severe depression in her life, and she had commented on what had happened, and she said, it's so sad. What he chose was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that's what I heard John saying, mm-hmm. realizing that this is a hard thing. And then, of course, our faith in Christ, because the reason I'm stumbling is I remember the words of my uncle that my brother told me my father was dying. He died when I was 22 years old.
Yes.
And he and his brother had practiced dentistry together. They were very wealthy, and they were very depressed. Both of them were addicted to alcohol. My brother stood outside our father's door, of the hospital door, and heard his younger brother say to him, "What's it all about? Why did we work ourselves to death? There's nothing at the end." And it broke my brother's heart, and kind of breaks my heart to share that with you now, knowing that they didn't understand. There's so much more than this life on earth. And as much as we can communicate, and thank you for Faith Radio for doing that for so many people, letting them know there's more than just this life on this earth.
There is indeed. I appreciate that that story from your family and your family's past, Kendra. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts with us. Just a few seconds left. I want to ask you, and John, I'll start with you just briefly. Can we ever be too cautious when observing or watching for symptoms and signs? Can we slip into that helicopter parent mode and try to do too much?
Yes, I think that basically we have to know whether our kids are trying to manipulate us or whether it's a serious, you know, a serious thing. And again, you know, a parent, that's just something that a parent has to know.
Yeah. John and Kendra Smiley, you'll find them on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com, holding it together, some parenting tips as students are heading back to school amidst some rather turbulent times. Love what you guys do. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking again.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll talk to him again very soon. 7:54. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.